Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We will have Jimmy Vaccaro on the show today. We're doing the show from the home offices today. The moat, the alligators, all that stuff to get through. Jimmy Vaccaro from Las Vegas, all things around the college and pro football weekend from Vegas. The view from Vegas, the one and only Jimmy Vaccaro. We'll have Goody at the Movies today. And we're going to talk about Snowden. Guys, if you want to see something, because there's a ton of football this weekend, as always. And some of you guys, like me, I'm going to be coaching Saturday morning. I'm going to be doing family stuff, watching football. I have a United soccer match Saturday night. Sunday, I've got the Cardinals game. We've got ASU tomorrow night. There's just so much going on. But if you can wedge out about 3 hours and go see Snowden this weekend, you'll get completely away from sports and you'll be much more logged into when the games happen. You will. I guarantee it. So we'll talk to Bill about that. Goody at the Movies is coming up. Very much looking forward to seeing Jameis Winston this weekend. You know, the Cardinals have everything to prove in this game now that they lost to New England, a game that they were supposed to win because the Patriots did not have Tom Brady. The Patriots did not have Rob Gronkowski. The Patriots did not have Rob Ninkovich. The Patriots did not have both their starting tackles. And if you think I'm going to keep bringing this up all season long, you win. Because when you build something up beyond the expectations that are realistic, and then it turns into a lead balloon, you do not let people forget. You just don't. And I'm not going to be malicious or mean-spirited about it, but look, if you're going to cram it down my throat for 5 months about how everything's going to be great and then it's not, then we have to remind you it is our duty and our job to be straightforward on this and not be a bunch of rah-rah people. When things are good, they're good. When things are bad, they're bad. Right now, they're 0-1, and it's Thursday. Yeah, try to turn the page to Tampa Bay. You have Jameis Winston, who is the player of the week, coming in here. They run a no huddle. And we saw what is really damaging, I think, for the Cardinals is Bill Belichick, the best in the business, said this is how you take Chandler Jones out of the game for the most part. For the most part. He's going to get his. We're going to put our big bad tight end on Chandler Jones. We're going to pound him, and he may get a few. Here's how you beat the Arizona Cardinals. And they did it in week one, and they put it on tape. So it doesn't matter if it is Tampa Bay this week or Buffalo next week. It doesn't matter. It's all sitting there for everyone to digest that this is what Bill Belichick did. We are going to do the same. It's not good. So I hope they prove me wrong. I hope they come out and play very, very well. But a game that we had circled as a W. Eric, you had this one as a W, right? You had Tampa Bay as a W, right?
I did. Home? I did. I had it as a W, but like last week, you can never predict the NFL when you think you have it figured out. And this week is no different with the Arizona Cardinals.
I would have to think the Cardinals would get after Jameis Winston much more than they did after Jimmy Garoppolo. Jameis Winston is not Jimmy Garoppolo. He's bigger, he's stronger. But if he stands back there and picks them apart, I don't know. If you look at the tape, you want to tell me Brandon Williams got better as the game went along? Fine, you can tell me that. You still lost the game. And your secondary still had a major, major meltdown.
And I also think, Brad, these practices out at the Cardinals facilities in Tempe this week were probably no fun. So you're going to see a much, much greater sense of urgency in Glendale this weekend than you did last, which it shouldn't be like that. You're playing a primetime game on Sunday night against the Patriots. But when you come out flat, you fall behind, and you're playing catch-up the whole game, you're just setting yourself up for disappointment at the end, which the Cardinals got.
I'm looking forward to seeing the Steelers and Bengals this weekend. We had AJ Green on earlier. I'm looking forward to that game. Tonight, am I going to watch? Are you watching Jets Bills tonight? Does that do much for you other than
so.
The Cardinals Bills next week?
Nope, I don't think so.
I'm all over Houston Cincinnati tonight because I saw the Cougars in their season opener against Oklahoma. So, and Greg Ward Jr. is supposed to play tonight, the quarterback. Is he that good in your view?
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's very talented.
Yeah, you like him? All right.
I do.
I've got allergies today, so just bear with me. If I start sneezing on the air, that's what's going on. I do want to see Louisville this weekend because of Lamar Jackson, their quarterback for the Heisman race. But I think on the college football scene, we'll talk with Jimmy Vaccaro here in about 5 minutes on all the games, but I am more interested in the college games this weekend than most of the NFL games, except for my fantasy team. My fantasy team blows. My fantasy team's horrible, and I'm not going to bore you with who I have, but just one weekend, I just want to fire everybody. The Mike Leach story is one that is of interest. We'll get into that. Sonny Dykes is complaining about the scheduling with Cal in the Pac-12. I'll get into that here in a little bit because we will see him next week. But I want to get over to the Diamondbacks real quick. So the Diamondbacks did win last night, 11-6. Tony La Russa has become the major part of the Diamondbacks story in the news cycle here in about the last 24 hours off of an interview he did yesterday. The Diamondbacks in sweeping Colorado, Segura had a couple of more home runs. Gene Segura was a minor January pickup in the transaction cycle. And when you look at the MVPs of the Diamondbacks this season, you would look over at the first baseman, but I would make the argument that Gene Segura has been every bit as valuable this season to the Diamondbacks. They've solved their second base issue. No longer do they have Aaron Hill there who couldn't move to the right or left at a big number. And so 182 hits with 17 games to go. He may get 200 hits. Who would have thought that out of Gene Segura? So they've got Archie against the Dodgers, and that's where it is on the field. They're going nowhere fast. And that leads me to Tony La Russa. So the Diamondbacks this season, it's like at every turn and every corner, there's stuff. We could go all the way back to the stadium in March and how contentious that got in this weird timing where Derek Hall gets in front of the media and short notice, and he was, I thought that he was very uncomfortable in trying to answer questions. The team not playing well. Shelby Miller, this is just an odd team, I think. This, I could say it's an odd year. And I've heard this internally too, that it's just an odd group of guys. Like, this is not a good team because there is not like two or three people sitting over on the bench. Like, remember the Diamondbacks when they went to the World Series, they had guys like Greg Colburn that they would bring off their bench. Colby was somebody that was a steadying influence, come up with big hits, made plays happen. They don't have those type of players on this year's team. But they do have Tony La Russa, who's a Hall of Famer. And Tony La Russa yesterday was doing the media circus, the right way to put it. And he got into the conversation about Colin Kaepernick during one of the interviews. This was Tony La Russa yesterday talking about Kaepernick.
The Kaepernick thing. I would not allow it on my team because I think respect for this country, the flag, I know what the Constitution says, but I also know you have some rights as an organization. And I really distrust Kaepernick's sincerity. I was there in the Bay Area when he first was a star, a real star. I never once saw him do anything but promote himself. And all of a sudden now he's a second stringer and he's got this this mission on to, and I just don't trust his sincerity. And even if he was sincere, there's ways to express your belief in, you know, some of the issues that face blacks around this country without disrespecting the country you live in or the flag that it represents.
Okay, so there's a few things here. And I've got to give it full context. So I'm out doing business yesterday and I'm having a conversation with a gentleman, and this topic comes up of hearing La Russa. And this gentleman is well established in his career. He is in the same demographics as Tony, I'm guessing around in the 60 range. And he said, you know, I'm just done with the NFL. I cannot watch the NFL anymore because they've disrespected our country. And I said, well, I have to respectfully disagree with this. This is somebody who's taking a stand. He said, that's the problem, Brad, is we're just marginalizing things like this. And our great country is slowly being chipped away at. And I don't know. I felt like that was a little bit far reaching and overreacting. I didn't approve of what Kaepernick did. I felt like taking a knee was not as disrespectful as what he was doing initially, which is just sitting. To hear La Russa yesterday, and I get it. He's in a space where it's a national interview. He's asked the question. He has to respond. He's there to promote something to do on the animal end. Because I was so captivated with what he was saying, I didn't even pay attention to what he was there to do. So I don't know if it was very effective. Point is this is a baseball team that is headed nowhere this season. This is a baseball team that's been beyond a disappointment, a team that has been just an utter catastrophe this year when you consider the size, the payroll, and the expectations and what we're left with. I just would rather not see Tony La Russa promote anything right now. The Diamondbacks are better off just disappearing. It's the 15th. Yesterday, the interview, it's the 14th. You have 2.5 weeks left. You're better off just saying, no, we're not going to come on the air right now. We'll talk in the off season. Show hosts are going to say, we want to talk about this. No, we choose not to. There are times, and you guys have heard me through the years go on the rant about the PR people and how they try to, spin the story out and the narrative, and rather than just saying what is, I respect the heck out of the PR guys that get that we have a job to do rather than they've got it all figured out and we do not. When things are bad and I get a phone call, you're being too hard on us. Really? Are you hearing yourself? Why do you care what some guy on the television or radio is saying? Why, really? Or when I hear what goes on behind the scenes with some of our newspaper friends and the phone calls they get and, we're partners with you. No. This is an industry that we're not going to let get away. In a lot of cases, it has. I'd just rather not hear anything out of Tony La Russa at all. And so now he's part of a news cycle with a team that has been the biggest disappointment, probably, outside of the Giants. The Giants' second half collapse is going to be historic. If you're a Giants fan, you know I'm right on that one. They blow. They had the best record in baseball the first half. Second half, they've been horrible. So the Diamondbacks are right there with the Giants. Biggest disappointment. Just disappear. There's nothing worth talking about. We're going to get into Mike Leach in about 10 minutes. Sonny Dykes isn't happy up at Cal, and it does impact ASU and U of A. I'll explain that. But up next, Jimmy Vaccaro from Las Vegas, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sismad. This segment of the show brought to you by Subway. Subway, eat fresh. Appreciate Subway and their support. Cardinals and Tampa Bay on a Sunday morning. Or Sunday afternoon, I should say. And, Jameis Winston against the Cardinals secondary. Off what I saw on Sunday night where Jimmy Garoppolo was throwing back and forth. And, yeah, they didn't go at Patrick Peterson much. People don't. But the weak spot of the Cardinals secondary after what Jameis Winston did, I got to look at that game and say, man, if I'm going to put a few bobs down on that one, I have to look the direction of the Buccaneers. Jimmy Vaccaro joins us now. And it's always good to catch up with Jimmy in Las Vegas. Jimmy joins us every week. And when you have Jimmy Vaccaro on, 4 decades doing the books in Vegas at South Point Casino and Resort, that is the place to stay. Always good to catch up with Jimmy. Am I right on this about Winston? And what do the numbers look like? Are we expecting a high-scoring game down here, Jimmy, on Sunday?
Yeah, it's going to be a very high-scoring game. And hopefully everybody in your area recovers after last week's debacle, but you know what? That was 1 week. It's done in its past. They're not going to have an easy task. They're playing a Tampa Bay team. Obviously, this kid's playing well. Came out of the gate super. The second highest total on the board for the week, Brad. Your total was 50.5. Tampa Bay and the Arizona Cardinals. The only ones a little bit higher is the Saints, naturally, for the obvious reasons. There, they are at 51. But it'll be something to watch. Remember the last time the Saints and the Giants played, I think they scored 101. So there'll be a lot of scoring there. And as you stated, and I'm surely not an X and O guy, Arizona's going to have trouble chasing this youngster around. He's made some key plays last week also. You better show up this week. If you come out 0-2, then there's a lot of trouble. But to answer your question, Arizona, 6.5-point favorite, total 50, second highest total on the board for the pros for the week.
When you look at the NFL this weekend, Jimmy, where is most of the action going right now?
It's been pretty steady. Everything so far hasn't moved great. The San Diego Chargers, after last week, giving the game away basically to the to the Chiefs. They're playing a Jacksonville team that absolutely played the Packers straight up, but lost the game by four. Chargers opened three, were up to 3.5. That gathered a lot of attention. In the Thursday night game so far, it's all on the Jets. I don't know if this is a bet against Rex Ryan or not, but Buffalo obviously a lot of bad press this week, and who knows what's going to happen. The game opened pick 'em, and now we're up to Buffalo 1.5. So to answer your question, the only point and a half move so far has been on the Buffalo game and then the Charger game.
Jimmy Vaccaro, Bengals, Steelers. Jimmy, what's the view in Vegas?
The view in Vegas is like everyone's been talking about leading up to the start of the season. Even though Le'Veon Bell's been out, we know there's the other kid, the backup's been playing great, and Big Ben is having a great start. Pittsburgh, 3.5-point favorite, total 48.5. We'll be rooting for the Bengals in this one only because of what we saw last week. Bengals, they're still the Bengals. They seem to have everything down right on paper. When they get out on the field, it comes up a little bit different. But it's a good football team. Those two should be battling out for that division. But you can see for the rest of the year that we're going to need against the Steelers because there's just a feel early on that the Steelers are going to be one of those teams that can become a marquee team as the season wears on.
Jimmy Vaccaro, South Point Casino Resort, joining us on the college end. You've got Michigan State, Notre Dame right off the top. Let's go through that one, Jimmy.
Wow, big game, and it's tough giving Michigan State 7.5 points, but they're going to need all of them there. A lot of what you consider the smart guys jumped in early and took the 8, then went down to 7.5. We opened the game 7.5. We're pretty close to going to 7. It should be another high scoring game with this one also. But anytime you get in D'Antoni. 7.5 points, it's hard to lay that against them. You saw Notre Dame, you saw them put up a bunch of points against the Texas team, but I don't know if they'll run that loose here. But to answer your question again, my friend, I think the game will go down. There'll be a lot of parlay and teaser money on Notre Dame, but the interesting game, that and the Ohio State game will be the two biggest watch games this weekend in college.
And let's go through that. Ohio State at Oklahoma.
Wow, here you go. You talk about changing directions quickly. Remember, we put up these games of the year about 6 weeks ago, and at that time, we put up Oklahoma, a 10-point favorite over Ohio State. You could have got your 10 points way back in the end of June, but nobody really jumped on board there. So naturally, after what we saw with the Oklahoma obviously losing to Houston, although Houston is a very, very good team, and Ohio State, from what we saw, they're ready to go too. It's going to be Ohio State and Michigan. It should be in the Big Ten. But right now, Ohio State, a road favorite at Norman. That's pretty strong move. But that'll be, as far as I'm concerned, the biggest game of the afternoon. And it comes at a perfect time for us. It's a late afternoon game, 4:30, and there's a lot of stuff spaced out. But you like to have that great 4:30 game. It keeps people around for the 7:30 starts when teams like Hawaii and Arizona get to it.
Let's get one more game in here, and that's USC Stanford. Jimmy, the Cardinal play at UCLA next week, at Washington the week after. They've got USC here to start. It's a real tough stretch here for Coach Shaw. They've got the Heisman Trophy candidate, McCaffrey. I'm a Heisman voter. I like him. What do you make out of USC Stanford on Saturday?
Game hasn't moved. A little two-way on both sides. Stanford, a solid 8.5-point favorite. I still think people are trying to guess out what the hell is wrong with USC, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. They surely haven't been consistent so far, although it's early in the season. But, you know, taking 8.5 points against the Stanford team with Shaw, he seems to play it so close to the vest in the middle of the third quarter on. You know, if it's a third and nine, he runs the ball up the middle and obviously eats a lot of clock. So I would suggest that if you like USC, bet it now. I think the game goes down a little bit as opposed to up.
Jimmy, appreciate the time and insight as always. Thanks.
All right, pal. Talk to you next week.
Stay well. There's Jimmy Vaccaro there from Las Vegas. Getting it done at South Point Resort and Casino. I just have to say this about Jimmy. We've been doing this. Jimmy and I have been doing it for over 20 years. And when I first mentioned Eric, hey, I got a guy in Vegas. And I see Jimmy now showing up on SportsCenter. And he's blown up. He's always been the guy in Las Vegas through the years. And I hear from people, it's a can't miss segment. I got to hear what Jimmy has to say about the games. It's just terrific to sit back and hear him, because there's so much knowledge, little nuggets that he kind of slips in there, and you make some notes like, okay, I think I'll use that one. So it's good to hear from Jimmy Vaccaro. On the other side, so Mike Leach is in the news cycle today, as is Coach Dykes up at Cal, and this does involve U of A and ASU. So I want to get into that on the other side. And then we'll have Goody at the Movies, some college football. That's next. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Brad Sussmat with you on a Thursday. Looking forward to a great football weekend. The game tonight, the Thursday night game, I'm bringing this up simply because I think if you're a college football fan, this is a prove-it game for Houston tonight. Houston won their opener and did so convincingly. They play Cincinnati tonight. I wouldn't call this a marquee game, but I think for those that look at Houston and wonder, are they legit? Are they real? Is this a team that you should be looking at for in November and for the playoff? This is a game tonight that they're going to be able to show themselves again nationally. And there will not be any competition on the college front. Yeah, there'll be people watching Jets and Bills. That's primarily people on the East Coast, in my opinion. That leads me over to Kalen Ballage. So Kalen Ballage will be playing tomorrow night, a Friday night. And I don't like this, by the way. Fridays are meant for high school. Saturdays are meant for college. Sundays are meant for the NFL. They just are. And I know that college is trying to find their landscape and their spacing and all of that. And there's budgetary costs. And this is a smart move on ASU's part for scheduling. They fly down to San Antonio today. What is it, Eric? It's like an hour and 30 minutes, hour and 45 minute flight down to San Antonio. It's nothing major.
Yeah, about 2 hours.
About 2 hours, yeah. And so you have a night on the Riverwalk. You go play the game in a dumpy barn. You are able to go out to high school recruits. I don't know if you can make contact, if this is a contact period, so I shouldn't say that. But high school recruits are going to know that you're in town playing. And then you get back. You're not going to get back terribly late, I wouldn't think. You're not going to get back at 3 or 4 in the morning, I wouldn't think, from San Antonio. Then you have Saturday off, and you get ready for the college weekend and your Pac-12 opener against Cal. So you are able to sit back and watch, and Cal has Texas Saturday night. That's going to be a heck of a game, I think, just to see how Cal is straightened out. And that leads me over to the Bears. So they're going to play ASU next week. I don't know if you all follow this stuff. To me, it's really interesting that Sonny Dykes is making an issue out of Pac-12 scheduling. So in 2012, when the Pac-12 went to this schedule, every year Cal has to play UCLA and USC. Every year. They do not miss UCLA or USC. It's just part of the scheduling, and that is because rivalries, more importantly, television markets, you have Los Angeles against San Francisco. Problem is, for Sonny Dykes, Cal is 1-9 against those schools since this started. So this week, he decides to make it an issue, and he wants to do away with this, where every year they have to play USC or and UCLA, not or, and UCLA. Another way of saying, I would much rather have a game against Arizona or Arizona State, and they do play ASU this year, and they played ASU last year up there. I'd rather have Colorado show up on my schedule and have it be a Pac-12 South matchup, and I'm able to navigate my way through that rather than having to have the LA schools. I don't know why he'd bring that up now at this point. You're Cal. You're not as bad as you once were, and they were awful when he got there. They were flat awful. The program under Jeff Tedford had just completely bottomed out. They bring in a quarterback in Jared Goff. They get some national attention. They start getting some better recruits. They upgrade their schedule to the point now where they have Texas this week. Next week they have ASU. That's a pretty tough two-week span if you're Sonny Dykes. But you want to play the USCs and UCLAs, don't you? Or is this too tough of a schedule and we have to be able to manage it? So I thought that was interesting. Mike Leach went out of his way to go through the police unfairly treating members of his football team. He made that an issue this week, and now it's become a national point of contention. Is this Mike Leach just being so smart because he has had three assaults over the last 3 months of his players? Is it him seeing what's going on nationally in our country, where police are now on the radar in terms of conversation against black athletes? We have the Colin Kaepernick situation. Okay. So has Mike Leach found a way to go after Washington State's police department and put some pressure on them in little old Pullman, Washington, to the point where the president of the university and the athletic director had to meet face to face with the chief of police? I don't know if there's more important things to do in Pullman, Washington, for the chief of police than to meet with the president of the university and the athletic director about, hey, you're singling out our players. But I will, in Leach's defense, one of the three arrests that was brought up and was put out there in public, Mike Leach said the police have distorted the facts and they have taken players out in the court of public opinion. One of the players that was arrested, this was an incident that happened in June, and it just came out this last week. You know, I get it. You're going to try to sweep stuff under the rug. That's what sports information directors do as part of their job. They're going to make sure that we don't get that stuff, or try not to get that stuff.
And it also should be noted, Brad, to jump in here real quick, that Mike Leach is a lawyer. Let's not forget that. Mike Leach is a very smart guy. Mike Leach's football team is 0-2, and they lost two pretty bad games, including to Eastern Washington. For some reason, a Pac-12 school struggles at home. Every year they struggle beating the Big Sky. So there's a lot of layers, as you know, to Mike Leach. And if there was one coach in the Pac-12 that would start a dumpster fire like this, it would definitely be Mike Leach. So all of this doesn't necessarily surprise me. I kind of just was like, oh, he's at it again. You know, he writes books about pirates, and he's a great football coach. No one's disputing that. But this falls right in line with his personality, and he's such a sharp guy that this doesn't really surprise me at all what he's doing.
I would agree with you on all of that, except is this something, because Monday he went off, and it was very funny him going off. So then he turns, that's Monday night's news cycle, and that made it national. So then Tuesday he goes into this mode. So to your point of being 0-2, okay, is there a lot of calculation there with Mike Leach? Is he taking pressure off his team, putting it all on himself, which is a veteran coaching move? Veteran coaches will find a way to put all the pressure on themselves. You see it during the course of a season. A coach will just go rip his team to shreds, and guys that sit behind microphones and guys that sit on TV sets will show, they'll show the little soundbite of the coach going crazy. And all that's meant to do is take it all off the fact that the team stinks. So, and the coach is willing to take the heat, which is, it's fine. And Mike Leach may well be doing that. I want to go over to ASU though. So Kalen Ballage has an opportunity on tomorrow night to do something. It's kind of like Houston tonight. Houston tonight, by impressing people, can put themselves in the conversation nationally with two very quick starts for people to see. Kalen Ballage tomorrow night, after having an 8-touchdown game late on the East Coast. I mean, not even late, just absurdly, like next morning he's scoring the 8-touchdown at 2:00 in the morning East Coast time when Heisman voters are dead flat asleep. So when you see Kalen Ballage doing his thing, can he do the same against UTSA? UTSA is not Alabama. It's not Michigan State. I got it. But it's a Friday night college football game on ESPN. So there's going to be an audience that's going to see Kalen Ballage for the very first time. And when they see him, and if he goes 12 carries for 31 yards, that's not going to cut it. If Kalen Ballage, I'm not saying he has to have 8 touchdowns or 5 touchdowns or even 2 touchdowns. Kalen Ballage goes out and just runs the ball well. I'm sure in Todd Graham's world, he'd like to see DeMario Richard come out and go for 120 and have Kalen go for 100 and sit there with 200 yards rushing. He'd be fine with that. I myself would like to see Ballage. I think Ballage of the two backs, if I had to start a team, I would take Ballage over DeMario Richard. That's just me. The DeMario Richard fan club's not going to be as big a fan of that as I am. It's ridiculous to see what Balazs was able to do the other night. So Friday night, to see Kalen Balazs tomorrow night, I think that it's an important game for him and for the ASU program because they're going to get some national exposure. One other note in this segment before we get to Goody. Why is it, or what is it, who has, and I'm just going to be blunt on this one, who has Greg Byrne and Rich Rod pissed off at the Pac-12 offices? You guys see the schedule? So last year, U of A did not have a bye week. And we said months before their season, dead men walking, they're not going to win. You cannot compete when you don't have a bye week. U of A, their first four games this year all start after 7:30. Now, that may not sound like a big deal to you guys. It's a huge deal. It's a huge deal to players. It's a huge deal to staff. It's a huge deal from exposure nationally. 7:30 kickoffs means 10:30 on the East Coast. It means that players aren't going to get back home until 2 or 3 in the morning when they're on the road. It means that coaches aren't going to get home until very, very late. It means you have to sit around all day Saturday. That may sound all well and good, but when you start having some early games, it takes some of the pressure off. You play a 12:30 kick, you're done by 5:30, 6 o'clock, you're having dinner with your family, you're a player, you're by 6 o'clock, you could, okay, if we had to believe student-athlete, you could be home studying, or you could be getting out and doing something. I don't know why it is. Is it the Pac-12 says nobody cares about U of A in terms of ratings, so we're going to stick them with the worst possible schedule of all 12 programs. I don't know that. I'm sure Greg would completely disagree with me, but I think if I were having a beer with Greg Byrne, there would be some reason behind the scenes as to why U of A gets stuck with this lousy schedule every year. It's a joke. It's a joke. It's good for them to play a 7:30 game this week, because out in Hawaii, it's, what, 4 in the afternoon. So they'll be able to get some exposure out there where they recruit. But it's not good for the U of A to do this week in and week out. And we have a lot of U of A fans watch our content. I try to be as fair and balanced as possible. I just think it's not right what the conference is doing to them. Stick USC with four straight 7:30 starts. That will never happen. Why? Number two television market. It's just crazy. Sports360AZ.com. On the other side, Goody at the movies. We're going to talk about Snowden. And Bill's view, I saw it, Eric saw it, and I think Eric should jump in on this one too. We'll get into that on the other side as some other movies as well. It is a Thursday, fine Thursday. You have to know what's going on, not just in the world of sports, but have a life too. We'll have Goody at the movies next. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, you've heard from Jimmy Vaccaro, the games to bet on and all that. You have to know where to go to have a life this weekend. And this is the guy. It's Bill Goody Koontz. You have to go to the movies. It's Goody at the movies, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central. It's always good to have Bill on the program. How are you, Bill?
Does that mean I have to have a life to tell other people how to have a life?
Yes, you have a life. You spoke with Jimmy Kimmel. Not many people get a phone call. Did you call him or did he call you?
I actually emailed him because I know him a little bit, and I realized the Emmy Awards were coming up Sunday and that he's the host. And I thought, well, that people might be interested in talking to him. So I emailed him and said, hey, can I talk to you briefly, you know, about the Emmy Awards? And since he's now not Jim Kimmel, but Jimmy Kimmel, he had to have a publicist set it up, but he did, and he was cool about it. But I'll tell you, a cooler thing about Jimmy Kimmel is my friend Tim Goodman is the chief TV critic for The Hollywood Reporter.
Yeah.
And he flew over from, he lives in San Francisco, he flew down to L.A. and hung out with Kimmel for a while after a show to do a big, long interview. And they name-checked me, and neither one of them told me. It was really nice. Somebody else mentioned it to me, showed it to me in the story. I said, well, that's kind of cool.
You know, the thing is, when I drop your name, things happen. Things happen. You're a big
deal. Nobody knows who it is.
Well, no, but here's the thing. When you say Goody Koontz, right, or if you say Goody, people just know you. So you should not be so humble. I mean, you're right there with Fitz. You're right there with Chuckster. You know, you're
in that
circle. Okay.
I was behind Larry Fitzgerald in a movie. And it was one of those IMAX things. It was a big Steve thing. And I told my daughter, let me push you into him, into his back. And then you can pretend like you tripped. So she's like, I'd really like to meet him. And I'm like, well, I don't know him. But I'd be glad to introduce you. I mean, I'm sure it happens all the time. And he's like, no. And I said, just let me push you really hard. And he's big. He'll catch you. And she wouldn't do it.
Fitzgerald falls downstairs at IMAX, torn ACL, career over.
David Thompson at Studio 54.
right. That's good. All right, Snowden. Let's get into Snowden here. First and foremost, I'm not in your role, but I feel as though that was one of the best movies that I've seen this year. Not in your position. You agree or disagree?
Disagree. I thought it was good, but I have seen some movies that you have not. How about that?
Because you're good.
But I liked it. Some critics didn't like it. They thought it was too simplistic, too simplified, that it didn't really. But the thing is, and I'll tell you what, I liked it. I thought it was a very good movie. If you want to see a great movie about Snowden, see the documentary Citizen 4. And that, as you know, because you've seen it, there's a framing device in this movie where he's in a hotel in Hong Kong and he's telling Glenn Greenwald and another reporter what's going on, and he's giving them the information. And there's a documentarian in there, a woman, and what they dramatize in the in this movie is actually what the documentary is.
Mm.
It's the documentary that she is shooting in this movie, and you get the real Snowden. But I thought it was good. I like angry, over-the-top Oliver Stone. I didn't think he was over-the-top enough in this. I like him when he's nuts, like in JFK or Natural Born Killers. because nobody else does that stuff. And I think it's cool. And he's got such – his films look so good. You know, he'll use different kinds of film stock, and he'll do all kinds of interesting things. I wish he would have done more of that here. But what he did, like, for instance, my favorite scene maybe of this year is when – Snowden's boss is sort of mentor is talking to him on kind of a Skype-like thing, like a FaceTime-like thing. But yep. His face fills the screen. And it's just like Citizen Kane or something. I mean, he'll walk up to the camera and his face is just like looming over Snowden. And I thought that was really cool.
Should he be pardoned has been in the news cycle in the last 24 hours around this movie. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, should it be pardoned, or should it be executed for treason? I mean, the way that our lives are now is that it's one or the other. He should either be given a medal or he should be executed. And there's no in between. And you can't. And if you think there's an in between, then you don't love this country. You know, I mean, that's sort of where we're at. I'm sorry. I'm getting ready to watch that Donald Trump on Dr. Oz, so I'm all fired up for stuff like that.
Oh God, lucky you. But in seriousness, you would say this is a good movie, but not a great movie.
That is true. I would. I think that it, and part of it, you know, no, you don't do anything in the vacuum. You like to say every movie stands and falls on its own merits, and it exists as kind of the singular thing. But if you've seen Citizen Four, I think it's almost impossible not to kind of even subliminally kind of like compare the two. And I would really recommend, this is a good start. If you don't know anything about Snowden, I think this is a really good way to get into it. And I thought that one of the interesting things about it is you think, oh, this is, you know, Oliver Stone, he's just going to, you know, rip apart America and be, you know, I thought the politics of it were pretty surprising. He's sort of angry at America, but he's angry at everybody. I mean, he's Obama comes in for, you know, a pretty good shellacking in this in this movie too. Just as Bush does, they both do.
No, you're right about that. 8 days a week. So this is a Beatles doc. What did you? Is it a Beatles doc? I read that it was. What did you learn from this?
It is, and Ron Howard directed it. Ron Howard does these. He did a Jay-Z movie of all things in 2012. He'll do these sort of side things that are interesting of him. The Beatles are my favorite band ever, and I was about a year old or something when they showed up on the Ed Sullivan Show. But I had older siblings, so that was what we listened to when I was growing up. I love the Beatles. I think they're the greatest story in not just music, but probably popular culture. Like, what happened in the world that those four guys got together in that little town at that time and had, mm-hmm. you know, and this came about? The thing about this movie is if you're a Beatles fan, it's nothing that you haven't seen. Well, it is some stuff you haven't seen before. There's some sort of rare footage and photos. You know the story. I mean, there's no big surprises. It's not like, you know, like, you know, they don't admit that Paul is dead or whatever. You know, like the rumors. But it's such a good story that I'm happy to sit through it again. It's just really enjoyable, and it just, I mean, you cannot leave this. Even though they kind of get into some arguments and stuff towards the end, you can't leave without being happy. I mean, you see some of that stuff. And this is actually pretty interesting. The biggest stadium concert in history at the time was when the Beatles played Shea Stadium. And it's still a legendary concert. It's still a big deal. It was like 56,000 people or something like that. And they had to build them these, sort of laughable now, but they built them these special amps so that people could hear them. And they played what it sounded like, but they played the amps through, like, the PA system. So it sounded kind of like the Beatles playing at a baseball game or something. And it's just really cool. The movie stops right before Sgt. Pepper, and it stops when they stop touring, which they did because, and you know, you hear these people now, and you're like, oh, everybody loves Jason Bieber, and everybody loves, you know, 5 Seconds of Summer and all this stuff. I really want my kids to see this because one of the reasons they stopped touring was even with their monitors on stage, they couldn't hear themselves play because the girls screamed so loud. And finally at the end, they were just, sometimes they wouldn't hardly play at all. They would just kind of, and McCartney says the same thing. He said the problem was they didn't come for the music anymore. They came for the Beatles. And he said, if you're in the band, that's just no fun at all. You know?
That's interesting. Now, is that wide, Bill, or is it just a very local?
It's not wide. I believe it's just at Shea.
It just at Shea. Okay. Yeah. And it's 8 days a week. That sounds really good because my wife is a Beatles fan. I'm fine with them. Yeah. I can go to sleep at night and not hear them. I like them, but she is completely over the top. She would be one of those that screamed and chased them off stage. That's just,
well, maybe this will make you think correctly.
right. I can keep the marriage going. We just take her to a Beatles movie. All right. Stay well. I'll talk next week. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Here's Bill Goodykins, Goody at the Movies. Always good to catch up with Bill. Snowden in 8 days a week. Eric, did you agree with Bill's take on Snowden?
I actually did. I was sort of in the
same camp.
You
didn't
think
it was that great?
No, I thought it was. I thought it was very good. I thought it was very well shot. I thought it told a great story. It gave great background. Was it the greatest movie I've ever seen? No. Was it in my top 10? Probably not. But it was good.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been on a good streak though, like I told you when we screened it. I've seen probably 6 or 7 good movies consecutively, and that never happens because I see most movies, even the ones that Goody tells me not to see. And they're bad. I go out and see him, and then I send him a text. Yeah, you're right. That was garbage. So,
yeah. No, it's that's good. All right, we'll get out of here then. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website right now that you can check out. Pro college, high school stuff around the Cardinals, stuff around ASU, U of A, recruiting, high school storytelling around the valley, around the state. Had some people that have found us through the TV show that have asked, you know, can we submit? We always look at stuff to submit. If you want to submit music, we're always looking for music for the show, too. I'm fine with that. If it gives you a start, why not? Thanks for being with us.